Tässä. You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. And welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible Study tonight. My name is Thomas Gambo. I'm the host of this Bible study for 1 hour, 8 to 9 o'clock. Tonight and this week, I want to start talking about heresies that's being taught in the churches. Heresies being taught in the churches. I'll cover this all this week. For as long as I go, and I'll elaborate on them. But this is within the Christian religion. Now, I do have to tell you, I'm a little hoarse, a little bit. So, off and on, I'll come and go with my voice. And so bear with me. But you got 37,000 different Christian sects in the Christian religion. That's why Christianity is not of God. It's there to hide the truth about Jesus. And people get caught up in the church that they're living in or worked in or been there or whatever. Family members, Freemasons, secret societies, tradition, what fits them that they like, all kinds of different reasons. God didn't put us on this earth just to figure it out ourselves and make our own up. 40 men, righteous, 1500 to 1600 years, wrote down their chronicle, their inspirations, their lives, what they were led to write down. It was collected, maintained at Antioch, Syria, and there, copies of copies of copies,
perfectly transcribed. Made a mistake, they had to tear it up, burn it, start all over again. Copies eventually wore out, they'd have other copies. Made perfectly. Corruption came from origin in Alexander, Egypt, who obtained copies of his own, started corrupting them. That became the origin of all Bibles today, except for the King James. King James Bible comes from the copies that went from Antioch, then moved to the Alps, kept there throughout the Dark Ages, brought out again, roughly around 1600, 1604, collected by the translators of King James, and translated. God took care of his word. Only two Bibles ever been written. Around 1875, two Freemasons was caught in Hort. There was a cry of England at that time was to update some of the words of the King James Bible. And the ones that were pushing it were the friends of England's Roman Catholic Cardinal Newman, who's educated by Jesuits, of course. So they formed a new committee. Everything was top secret. They worked on the New and Old Testaments for about 20 years, the 1890s. They weren't really updating the King James Bible at all. They were changing it by using another manuscript. In this committee, there was two members, Westcott and Hort, from the Church of England. And they secretly supported the Roman Catholic Church. There were also two ordained warlocks and high-level masons. They put pressure on other committee members. And what they did was, they convinced the committee that the old texts of the Vatican, which is originated by Origen in Egypt, were more reliable than the copies from Antioch. That's been the lie that's been perpetrated all along. Older versions are more accurate. Well, that's not true. It's not the age of the manuscript, it is the source of the inspiration. It was a great double cross that they performed. Fooled everybody. At least they think so. They thought so. Kind of ironically enough, around the same time they finished, they both died. One died 1892, Hort. The other one died 1901. Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that takes counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go to Egypt, have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt be your confusion. Jeremiah pretty much predicted it. Let's dedicate the broadcast, and we'll talk tonight about the heresies. And of course, that would start with the Bible, which there's only one. Guess which one that one is? Yes, the King James Bible. And with evidence that people keep wanting to forget and just ignore. Lord, we thank you tonight for this Bible study. We come together in your name, in your presence. Lord, we pray, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, to lead us tonight in the gospel. Lead us tonight in the study about your holy word. And, Father, the corruption of your word, Father, we want to learn. Guide me tonight, Father, as I bring this out. Father, we pray for our family members, for healing, Father, and those family members recently, Father, we pray that you will guide them. You'll give them healing. Be your, Father, be your will. We do pray for their safekeeping. We pray for others to open their eyes up, that, Lord, that their eyes can be opened, that the truth can be heard. And to bring out your watchmen, Lord, to preach the truth. And to put a conviction upon those that are in the congregations today that's not preaching the truth, Lord, you put a conviction. Conviction on their souls. To move away from these controls of the governments, of the World Council of Churches. Father, they may strike out on their own to preach the truth. We pray, Father, for more Bible studies. And more time that we have to spread the gospel to others. And this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, all sources and documents and the authority lies in interpretation of the Bible. And there's so many different interpretations of the Bible. People ask, why should I believe what you say? Well, everybody has a different interpretation. You know, because many people arrive at varying conclusions when they read the Bible. There's supposedly no way to get a real consensus. So you wonder, how is it that 40 different authors over a 1,500-year period wrote their inclusion of this book? When put together, only in transcription and translation, there's no contradictions whatsoever. 40 from different backgrounds. Over a millennium and a half period of time, and no contradictions. The only people contradict is those that read it and get a different something out of it differently. So the idea neglects to take into account certain facts. And the great majority of people that read the Bible have no problem with agreeing on the central teachings of the Bible. And even those who pretty much don't believe the Bible to be true have no difficulty whatsoever discerning the main message. This is where the heresies come from. They deviate ever so slightly in different sects of Christianity. With all branches, within all branches of Christianity, you find the same basic understanding as to what the Bible teaches. But they deviate in certain ways that become doctrine in their church, in their movement, whatever. They sometimes accept the same creeds that assert certain basic truths that God made image in his man, in man his image. Freedom of choice, and that man chose rebel against God, bringing sin into the world. Some say that Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God, or he is not God incarnated, but he is a prophet. That play a part in the future, actually. But we know Jesus to be God incarnated in the human flesh, just as the scriptures say. But some sects don't believe that. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, believe that Jesus is a brother of Lucifer. But you know, God, because of his everlasting love, he became a man in the person of Jesus Christ and died a substitutionary death on our behalf. He paid the penalty for sin. who knew no sin. Mankind can have the relationship restored with God through placing their faith in Jesus, who died in our place. So, well, pretty much the basic message of the Bible is clear for those who read it and seek to find out its meaning. So where does the problem come from? Well, people come to the table, so to speak, with their preconceived notions to the Bible and attempt to make their word fit to the preconceived ideas. It's like taking a jigsaw puzzle. You get tired of looking for the last two, three pieces. You say, oh, the heck with it. You take it, start cutting it out with a razor blade and make it fit. It just don't fit. It's not the fault of the Bible. It's the persons who try to force the Bible, the pieces, to say whatever they want it to say. What makes it feel comfortable. A lot of time it's hypnotism. Literally. Mesmerization in a lot of the evangelists that are trained in warlock, in witchcraft, that you think are Christian or not at all. Ash Wednesday doing the curse on all the Roman Catholics by that, making an X on the forehead. For the matter of various denominations, it's stressed that they're not formed because of division over the central teachings of Christianity. Differences are a result of different factors. It's cultural, ethnic, social, political, actually. Sometimes the churches are controlled by the government through the 501c3. When you compare closely with one another, these sects, the doctrinal differences are not always that crucial. But in my perspective, they seem to be very crucial. I would say so. Because once you start putting doubt in people's minds, that seed of doubt will grow. Some people take it lightly, doctrinal differences. I personally don't take it lightly. Because what it does, it's like pulling a thread out of your sock or your hose. You keep pulling the thread, it unravels the hose or the sock. Some people even use this in an argument for an excuse for not believing in Jesus. But like all others, it doesn't prove to be valid because Jesus made the main issue crystal clear. He who believes the Son has eternal life. He does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. If you go to John 3:36, it says specifically, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's King James Bible. It's also the application that goes along with it. You know, this hoarseness, I've been taking apple cider vinegar and all kinds of darn things. I'm going to turn into a apple core before long if I keep this up. I think of those chemtrails. Family, people are stuck in these churches. And they're death. Taking people away from the truth. Little by little. Let's see. If you got, for example, you got James. In James 5:16. confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, and ye may be healed. The effectual prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, this is where people get the confession idea. It's unscriptural and pagan practice in the Roman Catholic Church, where devout Catholics are expected to confess their sins to a priest, and that in order to obtain forgiveness. And 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 says that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And you have some that claim that James 5:16, which he just gave you, as proof that we should confess our sins to man. Confess your faults one to another. Well, no, that's not what it means. That verse speaks out our faults, not our sins. Faults are to be confessed to man, but sins are to be confessed to God. In Isaiah 1:18, it says that, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Proverbs 28:13. "He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." Faults are confessed to man, but sins are confessed to God. The way the Catholic Church used it was to gain knowledge from individuals so they could use it during the Reformation period. I think they started charging money for it later. You see, all different kinds of reasons. So, that confession, a big thing. Big thing, especially for the Catholic Church. I would not trust confessing my sins to another man, because he has to be sinless, and God has to be able to listen to him. No man is sinless. So, therefore, you should not confess your sins to another man. Not even to Dr. Phil. Then you have the deity of man. It's the foolish belief that man can become as God, or that God is reproducing himself in man. And according to God's word, those who believe on Jesus Christ can become sons of God, but never God himself. Sons of God of the Old Testament, completely different. Those were the fallen angels. But not begotten. That's where it's a difference in the only begotten Son of God versus the sons of God. And after the death and resurrection of Jesus, we all can become sons of God by confessing our sins to him, accepting him as our Savior. We all become sons of God. It's different. Is a new covenant, all grafted together with the Jews. But the New Age thrives on the deity of man, man to become as a god. Even Copeland, Joyce Myers, Dollar, T.D. Jakes, all of them say that man are like God. Benny Hinn, one of the special ones, that we're like little gods running around, that Adam could fly, he was like a god. They take that and run. That's prosperity preaching. And they actually are passing it on because of Freemasons as well. Because they say the Freemasons, because of being Freemason, are going to be saints in the New World. That's where they're getting that part. And that keeps them hooked. But then about the time they get to 33rd degree Mason, then they find out that Lucifer is God, Satan is Jesus. That's how they lead them astray. Isaiah 14:12, Luke 10:18, and Revelation 22:16. And they bring them through those three verses. Isaiah 14:12, Luke 10:18, and Revelation 22:16. And they have a method by which they lead them through those three verses. And using the other Bibles, show that the morning star is Satan. And Satan is Jesus. And you know that's a lie. But the King James Bible is completely different. It shows that Lucifer is Satan. They're one and the same. And Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, the bright morning star. It's tricky how they do it. And that's a secret they teach them. I forget exactly what degree it is they teach them, but it's a high-level degree. And that usually is the beginning of their takedown of their belief system. Which leads me to the denial of the blood atonement. Now, this blood atonement, Jesus Christ, is one of the fundamental doctrines of Christianity. Being that Christianity is pretty much perverted, corrupted. You say the blood atonement of Jesus Christ is one of the fundamental doctrines of being a Christian. Not to be confused with Christianity. There's many that deny it's necessary for salvation, while others deny it altogether. So now the blood atonement is a doctrine that the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb of God, was shed to atone for the sins of lost mankind. You'll find that in John 1:29 and Hebrews 9:22. For example, Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. That, you know, there you go. John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So you see, pretty clear about what they say. And the sinless blood was applied to the mercy seat of God, the Father of Heaven, Hebrews 9:11-12. If you go there, Hebrews 9:11-12, and they're going to use that too, the mercy seat. I talked about that earlier today. But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered it once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And the sinless blood was applied to the mercy seat of God the Father in heaven. So all the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, what they did, they were a foreshadowing of the blood atonement of Christ. So the innocent animal that was slain in Eden for Adam and Eve's covering, Genesis 3, verse 21. Under Adam also and his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. They had to sacrifice an animal for that. And then use that animal according to their sins. This pictured the slaying of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins as well. Abel's accepted offering, the firstling of his flock, you find in Genesis 4, verse 4, was also a type of the blood atonement for Christ, foreshadowing his coming. And there's a lot of pictures of the blood atonement in the Bible. But the greatest one is found in Exodus chapter 12. And that's where God redeems his people by the blood of the Passover lamb. And that moves us into Easter. And only in the King James Bible, Acts 12, verse 4, shows that Easter is a pagan holiday. Oh, they're really clever with this one. All the other Bibles call it Passover. And if you go to the... it's called the King James 2000. Very, very tricky. That's not a King James Bible. It also has Passover. Oh, they're really tricky. Very tricky indeed. See, the Passover happened before James was brought out to die. Herod waited till Easter. So that means Easter and Passover can't be the same thing. Now that's the short of it. I explained that before today. Actually, today I did quite a bit of it. It's some of the YouTube explanations. People asked me to explain it, and I did. It's pretty simple, actually. But that's what they've done. They've incorrectly, on purpose, for Acts 12:4, called it Passover when it should be Easter. Easter is pagan. Every bit of it is. And this is not accidental. See, that's the part about it that really kind of gets you goat. It's by design. So, the completed blood atonement behind us. All sinners have access to God through Jesus Christ. And through Him alone. And Acts 20, verse 28, it says pretty much that God purchased the church with His own blood. And if you go to Revelation 1, verse 5, it assures you that Christ can wash us from our sins in His blood only. And Romans 5, verses 8 to 9, says that we are justified by His blood. And we have peace through His blood. And that's according to Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through His blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So salvation was made possible not by the death of Christ alone, but by His blood and the blood atonement, which takes away our sins. Because we can't die and come back to life. He did. We can't. We're not gods. See, all these heresies are tied in together to the New Age movement. It fits like a puzzle when you start looking at them from a distance. And then they move into the deity or the denial of the deity of Christ. Now, the deity of Christ is a doctrine that Jesus Christ is God. Jehovah's Witnesses don't like that at all. Although they're considered to be Christians, right? So the heretics will bail out on that one. Some reason that Christ couldn't be God if He is God's Son. Others insist that He was only a prophet or a good teacher. And the scriptures declare actually otherwise. See, God's a Trinity. 1 John 5:7. And that is why they changed the Bibles. But not the King James. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Word became flesh, dwelt among us. John 1:1, John 1:14. But the other Bibles say there are the three that testify. That's it. So at least you're wondering, well, what three you're talking about. But don't tell you. So it could be any three they want to name the New Age movement of their so-called fallen angels. They're trying to say that the Holy Spirit is a woman, a female. Trying to bring all kinds of heresy in. That all three are different. God is a Trinity. He's all three at the same time. The second member of the Trinity is Lord Jesus Christ. So we go to John 1:1. It says that Word was God. John 1:14 tells us the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word incarnated. And John 1:1 tells us that the Word was God. So Jesus Christ is God. And you know that Jesus allowed Thomas to address him. He didn't say otherwise. He said, my Lord, my God. Well, Jesus didn't say, wait a minute, I'm not your God now. He didn't do that. Because he was God. John 20:28. In Isaiah, Old Testament 9:6, he's called the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. And you read Micah 5:2 that Jesus is from everlasting. So all through the Bible, it tells you who he is. Except they like to come up with their own ideas because it fits the New Age movement. So Jesus allowed people to worship him. John 10:38, Matthew 14:33. And since he is God with us, Matthew 1:23, he also has power to forgive sins. Mark 2:5. So the deity of Christ is one of the main fundamentals of the Christian faith. Very important. The Bible is very clear, emphasizing the fact that Jesus Christ is more than just a great man. He existed long before he came to this earth to be born of a woman, to be the only begotten Son of God in the usual way, because he's eternal, he's God. And that doctrine is denied by most cults, because it puts them in a straining. Binds them, especially the Wiccan, the original sin. The deity of Christ must stand. Therefore, they must destroy it. Because what separates and prepares the population for the coming of the false prophet and the falling away of the church. It'll also be dependent on how quickly they can act the churches to spread these different heresies, to create that lack of faith and trust in the scriptures. to affect the falling away more definitely. So not only do you have the denial of deity of Christ, denial of the blood atonement, confession, the deity of man, making God a man, and denying Jesus Christ as God, you're switching around, aren't they? So now they must have a denial of the deity of the Holy Spirit. In some way, they must destroy the Trinity. Well, the other sect that they have is denying the Holy Spirit is deity by teaching that the only force, that he is only a force like electricity or the wind. God's word, all through the Bible, that he is the third member of the Holy Trinity. Of course, 1 John 5:7. And also Acts 5:3 and 4:4. I guess it's just voluminous. Acts 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Well, see right there, you have a connection. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You're not lying to men, but you've lied unto God. See, it's one and the same. The Bible's full of this. It's got all through it. Peter accused Ananias of lying to the Holy Ghost, and doing so, it tells him he lied to God at the same time. Holy Ghost is God. Real simple. The Holy Ghost says in Acts 13:2. See, the Acts talks a lot about the Holy Ghost and supernatural things. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barabbas and Saul, for the work thereunto I've called them. He called Barabbas and Saul, which only God could do. He does many other things that only God could do, like John 14:16. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And 14:26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. And John 16:8-14. Yeah. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He shall show you things to come as prophecy. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Now, Jesus at this point, he knew they were desirous to ask him. He said to them, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while and ye shall not see me. Again a little while and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall turn into joy. Talks about his return. In Job 33:4, Psalms 104, verse 30, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, Ephesians, for example, 1:13. If you go to Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And on and on. And also, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, just like God is. If you go to Psalms 139:7-8. All kinds of scriptures here. Whether I go, whether shall I go from my spirit, or whether I shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, therefore thou art there. God is everywhere. And he is just. He's omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. Knows all. Can you imagine? How do people expect defeat? I just don't understand, I guess. But God hath revealed them to us by a Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. That's why man cannot debate the Word of God. It's foolish to even try. How does man debate the Word of God when man is not supernatural? It's not possible. Holy Spirit's eternal. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? He's eternal. He also inspired the scriptures, which brings us to the Bible and where they came from. Go to 2 Peter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men. How many? 40. How many books? 66. What period of time? 1,500 to 1,600 years. And not one contradiction. He also gives life. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quicketh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are a spirit, and they are life. And John 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. For only God can perform these specific tasks. Now, the next one, almost should wait till I talk about that one. Is, from one perspective, denial of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. It's kind of like discussing whether it's post-trib rapture or pre-trib or mid-trib. Everybody discusses it back and forth, argue about it, and nobody ever comes to a conclusion. Everybody's got scriptures for pre-trib, for rapture. Everybody's got scripture for mid-trib, rapture. You can twist it that way. And for pre-trib. And everybody's got scriptures for post-trib, or they can twist it that way. Yet when people discuss it, they never come to a conclusion. It never dawned on anybody that God is not going to let us know except when it happens? I guess not. Otherwise, it'd be something, it would have it distinct. That way, nobody can know exactly when except when it happens. What we do know is you better be ready before it happens, though. That's a given. That's what the actual message is. You're not going to know the day or the hour. It's that simple. Denial of eternal security, for example, from one school of thought. A lot of groups believe, Freemasons, Roman Catholics, believe that salvation is through good works. Good deeds, racking them up like you get little footballs on your helmet and you score a touchdown. It's also believed that a loss of salvation comes through a lack of good works. Is that not karma or something like that? I sense a little bit of karma going on here. Eternal security for the believers, commonly rejected for these reasons. Actually, it's very logical, very scriptural, to embrace the eternal security doctrine. My eternal security in Christ is based on a relationship with God, not my fellowship with Him, my relationship with Him. I'm not saved because I fear God and serve Him, but rather because I've entered into a father-son type relationship, or father-daughter. And how's that through? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a mediator. Once we're a child of the devil and a child of wrath, I believe John, let's look, John 8:44, or James. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom also we've had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But now you're son of God, daughter of God, John 1:12, and 1 John 3, verse 2. Romans 8, verse 14, and Galatians 4, verse 5. I'll say those again. John 1, 12, 1 John 3, verse 2, Romans 8, verse 14, and Galatians 4, verse 5. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You'll find that in Ephesians 4, verse 30, and 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. And you know you're kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Not by your own power, but Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Matthew 28, verse 20. Because he bought you with his own blood, and you'll find that again in Acts 20, verse 28. And also in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. So, if you choose to be a disobedient child, like I have so many times, then your Father in heaven will chasten you, and that what he will do, I'll vouch for that. Revelation 3, verse 19. Hebrews 12, verses 4 to 8. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30 to 32. But you will remain a saved and sealed son of God. Oh, I got a list right here for you. John 5, 24. 1 John 5, verses 11 to 13. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. Philippians 1, verse 6. John 6, verse 37. And John 10, verses 28 and 29. So true Christians are eternally secure in Christ. Why do I say true Christians? Because in these churches, they tell them, you just say the words, you're saved. Some people believe by going to church, they're saved because Jesus paid the price. That's it. I'm good. No. True Christians confess their sins to Jesus Christ, not to man. Confess to God through Jesus. We'll get to baptism later. But to truly say that repentance prayer and mean it is a difference in saying it and not meaning it. Big difference. Because with it comes a flood of emotions. As a young child who respects the parents has been caught with the hands in the cookie jar. And you're really sorry for it. Not because a spanking's coming. That's the old school, I guess. But because you really didn't want to disappoint them, and they caught you. And not crying before you got caught. You're crying because you disappointed them. Big, big, big difference. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to cover a big one, a real significant difference. It's quite lengthy in one of the heresies. It's the denial of the literal burning hell, quite lengthy, and denial of a literal second coming of Christ, and even denial of the physical resurrection of Christ. All those are quite lengthy. But these are heresies being taught in a lot of the churches today. Denial of literal burning hell will be tomorrow night. And this is a big one. is where euthanasia comes in. I live a good life and I'm just tired of living anymore. I can die with dignity. I just go to heaven. Just end it now. It's what they're trying to get people to do. It's called depopulation. A voluntary method. Whew. So you really don't do it. You just kind of give authority and let somebody else do it for you, which makes them a murderer. Well, yeah. You commit suicide and doing it by... So Satan gets two at one stone. One executing the child or the adult that wants to die is going to murder them. And one doing it is committing suicide. That's what it boils down to. And if I'm wrong, correct me, but it kind of seems that's what's happening here. That's a double slap. Well, that's being approved through the legislation. Belgium's already done it. England's done it. And they're trying to get Oregon and Texas, several other states now, to promote euthanasia. Make it legal. The signs of the times are upon us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study. Father, to lead us tonight, lead us. Father, thank you for leading us tonight. Father, forgive me my sins and my thoughts, and Father, that you'll guide me. Give me conviction if I fall away or have other thoughts, Lord. We pray for others, Lord. We pray for the healing of family members and to give them that courage, wisdom, Father, discernment, and healing. Father, we pray for an awakening of this country. That, Lord, that they'll come to the truth. Especially in the churches. Father, to increase the Bible studies and give them conviction to lead them in the right path. Father, guide us this week for our Bible studies. And guide us through these doctrines that, Father, we're going to expose that are false and denials. We pray, Father, for future times. We pray for an awakening. We pray for healing. We pray for a coming together through the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, we're as an hour, and I want to cover. Otherwise, it'd just be just hammering it. Boom, boom, boom. I don't want to do that. Try to make these things easier. I'm going to play a song that I haven't played before, and I'm going to play it through. I find it quite amazing. And, it's Carrie Joby, I'm Not Alone. And you're not alone. Y'all have a good night. God bless. And if I miss something today, let me know. This is my Bible study. I've invited people to join me. That's all it is, really. It's about learning. That time is going to come when everything changes. And they'll be calling you. He'll be calling you. To guide other people through is going to panic out. People are going to need your strength. Because there's so many that don't have a clue what's going on. But the shaking, when it comes, they're going to get an idea. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. Thank you for coming by. This is your watchman. I'm signing off.
Wait. refuge in the storm.